participate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sing the chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith." And then we're going to open our Bibles together. Your King James Bible. If you don't have a King James, then don't bother. We'll get you one. But if you have any other Bible, it doesn't say the same thing. This is God's Word, and He uses it. We know it's right. So we are going to sing that chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith," as we open once again to the book of Nahum in chapter 2. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's good to get excited in the Lord. Amen. I think we should be excitable. Glory to God. The Lord has done great things for us. They get all excited over the Green Bay Packers, don't they? We don't, but they do. But I'm just saying, shouldn't we get excited about what Jesus did for us? We're talking about eternal salvation. Saved from sin, death, and hell. Praise God. Well, it is good to be here this morning. I'm so thankful for the opportunity once again to open the Bible with you in these last days, these days just prior to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all of my heart. He could come back any time. And we know that those of you that were here last week or heard the message by recording, and I know that we're reaching out right now to 87 different countries all over the world via the internet. And of course, this is recorded. These messages are sent out to all these various countries. So in reality, I know that we've got over 2 million people reading the newsletter, and I know that we have some 35 to 45,000 people watching the messages, DVDs, and listening. And thank God that we can invade the internet, that wicked, evil territory, with the gospel. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? The Apostle Paul went into the marketplace, and that was no wonderful place either. Every kind of evil going on there, and he brought them the gospel. And I think this is a good thing. People need to hear it. Amen. So, we started a message last week, and it was called, "It's Time to Wake Up." And now it's a week later, so it's really time to wake up. We're getting close. And I can tell by all the signs of the times that everything the Bible said is happening. And you will discover this morning also as we go through various verses. But before we do anything, we need to pray and ask the Lord for help. Because we know that without His anointing, without Him giving us the ability to hear, we'd be unable to understand anything this morning. So, shall we call upon Him? Father in heaven, we humbly come to Thy throne and thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy mercy and grace, for Thy loving kindness, Thy tender mercies, and for the fullness of Thy salvation. And I pray now that Thy blessing would be upon everyone that's here, and all those that hear by recording, and all of those all over this whole wide world that are hearing through the internet. Lord, that Thy Spirit would come down and touch them all, and draw us all closer to Thee, O God. And let souls be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, move upon us and help us. Give us ears to hear. Let Satan be bound and rebuked and cast out and made powerless in Thy holy presence. And give us victory in Jesus' name. And we thank Thee for it. Hallelujah, amen, and amen. I left off last time, and I just started in the book of Nahum, chapter 2, and I'm going to pick up right there, and I was going rather quickly, so we're going to go back and cover this again briefly as we move on. In Nahum, chapter 2, the Lord was speaking through his prophet to Israel, but remember something about prophecy. There are what are called similitudes. You have fulfillments, but you have similar situations later, and the prophecy still applies. And this is true throughout the whole Bible. As you move forward, it seems like prophecy sometimes repeats itself. There's another fulfillment and another fulfillment, because God's word is true and sure, and wherever there are like situations, those prophecies apply. Some people, prophecy is rather an interesting thing, because some people put it all in the past. It's all over with. There isn't any anymore. Other preachers put it all into the future. It isn't going to apply to any of us because we'll all get zapped out of here and we won't see any of it anyway. You've heard that one, haven't you? But isn't it amazing how people can be in the middle of a prophecy? You and I, in the middle of a Bible prophecy, and not know it? We need to know it. And I believe as we study the Word of God, we will come to know that we are the people of the last generation. It had to happen to somebody. Hallelujah. It's you. And it's me. It's all of us. We are in the last time. And everything that you see going on all around you verifies that. And the Bible is more current than tomorrow's newspaper. Now, we're going to begin reading in Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily." What's the Lord saying? Watch out, there's trouble coming. He's telling Israel this. And I see, as I look at our country today, not only is trouble coming, it's already here, but there's more coming. Now watch what he tells us about this. He describes it in quite a depth. He says, "For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob." Now what's interesting about that, excellency of Jacob means the prosperity. Jacob meaning Israel. And they did well. They were blessed. They had a lot of things. They were satiated with good things, much like this country had been. Think back just a little ways. Land of opportunity, right? Remember how in this country they'd always tell you that? It's the land of opportunity. Anybody can be rich. Anybody can be wealthy. Anybody could be president. If you believe that, I've got rice paddies in Greenland to sell you. But anyway. No, that's what they tell us, though. Great democracy, freedom for all. Well, in the first place, if you want to define the word democracy, it's the worst form of government and always leads to anarchy and eventually to socialism and communism. That's why that's come upon us right now. This country is Marxist socialist this morning. A lot of the people aren't, but the government is. People have allowed it to happen, and because of the wickedness of the nation, God has allowed it to come upon us. And this is what he's telling Israel back here. Watch out, because trouble is coming. The Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob. Where are the excellent things? Where is all this prosperity? You know, they had this cash for clunkers thing. Tomorrow's the last day. Remember that? And all these dealers out there, and they sold all these cars. And all these cars are going to the crusher, and they're going to destroy all of them. Isn't it amazing that only 4% of all the deals made through the government program brought any money to the dealers? They can't get paid. The government's saying, "Don't worry, the check's in the mail." Huh? You're going to get your money. It's coming. Did you ever get the sinking feeling that the people in Washington don't have the foggiest notion on how to run the country? Did you ever get the feeling that there is utter and absolute incompetence at all levels of the government?
That's right.
That they really don't know what they're doing? That they can punch numbers into a computer system and make money from nothing? And all it is little blips, little electronic impulses that show up on the computer. But there's nothing of any intrinsic value in it? And that people think it's money? And they give them paper to play with, although they're trying to get rid of that. But it's amazing what they have done to the minds of people. And some people think this still is a great land of prosperity and great wealth, when in fact our government is bankrupt, businesses are bankrupt. We have a lot of corrupt people in certain places that have paid themselves so many bonuses and stolen so much money in the form of countless millions and hundreds of millions of dollars and then went running for the tall grass. You don't even know who these faceless people are. But suddenly, everything comes crumbling down and everybody's broke. What happened? Can people be that dumb or that evil? You got it. They are both. Okay? But I'll tell you what, the devil is a conspirator, and he always has been, and he works through crafty manipulation of people. But watch what the Bible says, because that's really what we're concerned about this morning. Scripture tells us in that second verse, the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob, and that certainly is happening, as the excellency of Israel, for the emptiers have emptied them out. Can you think of any emptiers in this country that have emptied things out? Is wealth disappearing? Where is it going? You know, they tell you everybody's broke. We're all in the same boat. Oh no. For every dollar lost, somebody got it. It went somewhere. Like digging dirt out of a hole. Where did it go, right? The sand that blows from one place blows the sand to, it's blowing to another, doesn't it? Okay? But the emptiers have emptied them out. And notice, not only did they do that, it says, and marred their vine branches. The very branches that bring forth the new fruit have been marred. They destroyed the branches as well. Where's our industrial base? Did you know that Wisconsin is now one of the most industrialized states in the entire union? Considering the shape we're in, that's pretty bad. I just heard that the other day on a radio talk show. Wisconsin is near number one in the country for industrial manufacturing and so forth. At one time, Milwaukee was number three in the nation. But we see empty factories, empty businesses. We have corporate headquarters, but everything getting shipped down south or overseas. The vines have been marred. If you destroy the vines, how are they going to grow anything? There's no earnings engine. Real wealth doesn't come forth in the form of any kind of production at all. Everything is manipulation. One thing handed off to another. But there's no real wealth generated. And that's what he's talking about here. You know what's really sad, though, is the younger generation, all of that generation does not know. They don't remember how it used to be and how it should be. They've never seen it. You know, I'm getting to be a very, very, very old, old, old man. I'm 59. And when you think about it, I get talking to people sometimes and I tell them, remember when Kennedy was assassinated? Huh? Hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, that's right, he got shot. You know, they weren't born yet. I mean, these younger people, they don't remember what that was like. I remember where I was. You probably remember where you were when it happened. And various other events that you kind of bookmarked in your the historical part of your memory. But you talk to a lot of people and they have no reference point to something actually having happened like that. And, you know, I tell people, yeah, it was the driver of the car that shot him. Oh, wasn't it Oswald? They're probably going to arrest this guy, but I saw a guy selling these pins, you know, little pins you pin on your shirt. It said, "Where is Lee Harvey Oswald now that we really need him?" But they're going to get him. They'll get him, you know, because there's zero tolerance for that now. But thought, well, he's got guts, you know. But there was a time when you used to be able to do things like that, too, because you could speak out without fear of reprisal. Anyway, it was the driver of the car that shot Kennedy. I'll just throw that in real quick for you. I've got a film of it, the original undoctored Zapruder film, showing the Secret Service agent holding the pistol, the silver Secret Service pistol, over his right shoulder, using the mirror to aim and blowing the top of his head off. There's no question, U.S. Secret Service, they offed him on purpose. And there's a lot of reasons for it I won't go into right now. But I have the Zapruder film for evidence. And there were only 78 copies of that made. So I got my hands on one of those. Well, we've made more since then. But the whole point is people have lost their reference point to what's really happening. And if they don't know history, which is a mirror of the past, they can't figure out what's going on right now and certainly don't have a clue about what's going to happen. Because you have a relatively small group of elitist people who for generations have handed down their power, authority, and money from one family to the next to this present time, and they're still operating. And that's why you continually hear on the radio, "There's no conspiracy, there's no conspiracy, conspiracy nut, conspiracy weirdos. There's nobody, no two people would ever get together and conspire." That's the way of the devil. The devil's all... And so now what did Obama recently say? "There's a right-wing conspiracy against me." He's pulling the conspiracy card. He's admitting there is one. But he won't admit that he's in on it. It's quite a game that they play. Of course, you can rest easy for another week now because he's on vacation. He went to Camp David Friday, and he was going to go to Martha's Vineyard this morning, but he had to postpone that because there's a hurricane zeroing in on it, and some pretty high waves and so forth, so he's going to wait until the wind dies down a little bit, and then go over there. He rented a little place on Martha's Vineyard for $35,000 for the week. I thought you might want to know that. A little cottage, you know. A little place for the night. But anyway, we see in the Word of God that the emptiers have not only emptied us out. Now, how did God know that would happen? He knows all things, right? And marred the vine branches. Ruined is what it means. The word marred from the Hebrew, which means ruined. And it says the shield, now watch how he gives us another clue here. The shield of his mighty men is made red. That color red is very interesting. It's the color of harlotry. It's the color of sin. A lot of people say, oh, the blackness of sin. Sin isn't black, it's red. "Though my sins be as scarlet," remember? "They shall be whiter than snow." Sin is red. As far as a spiritual color application is concerned. So with that understanding, it's interesting when you look at the book of Revelation and see that the great whore, the great false church, is red. The great harlot is clothed in purple and scarlet. And she sits upon a scarlet-colored beast. So you'll notice something. God is allowing an enemy to come in because of the sins of Israel and their refusal to repent. And he identifies them as red. Years ago, when I was a child, way, way yonder back there, in the 50s and 60s, we all knew what red meant. Today you talk about red, the young people. Red, well, that's just a color. Red meant that you're a commie, right? Of course, the communists didn't call themselves red. They called themselves liberals because it sounded so nice and sweet to be liberal. Liberal. Giving, caring, liberal. But it was really, you had to watch out because those that described themselves as being liberal were really generally reds. Remember Red China? Remember that terminology? Anybody remember that? Red, 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 evil, evil, evil. Even Reagan said they were an evil empire. But anyway, the shield of his mighty men is made red. I find that amazing how God put those words in there, because take that word shield and take the word red and put them together. Red shield. How do you say red shield in German? Rothschild. We pronounce it Rothschild. Literally means red shield. That's the meaning of the name Rothschild. And here the Lord said, the shield of his mighty men is made red. Mighty men here meaning those who are going to spoil the country. The valiant men are in scarlet. Notice the army becomes red. Under red leadership. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. The day when the Lord prepares to come back again, there will be a lot of chariots. Some are clunkers that got cashed in, but chariots, cars. If you lived back then, you'd call a car a chariot. They didn't invent the word automobile yet, did they? What does it say about these cars? And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. People are going to run into trees with them with such a force that it would shake the trees. Now, that can't be horses pulling chariots, because horses running into trees wouldn't shake the trees. Okay? The chariots shall rage in the streets. Just check it out any Friday night or Saturday night. Go over by the expressway. Go over by the interstate at night and watch all those headlights flashing as these cars race by at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. You know, I still haven't figured this out yet. I'll drive to Madison sometimes, and I got the cruise control set so I don't speed, and some car will come whoosh, flying past me. Have to be going at least 90, 95, maybe even 100 sometimes, because they're flying past, and it's always some blonde with her hair blowing in the wind talking on the cell phone. And I've counted them just about every time, with a few exceptions, but almost always. So I talked to the insurance agent. I said, why is it they charge boys more for insurance than girls when it's always these girls flying down the road speeding? And he said, we did a study on that. He said, the girls do drive faster. They are, but he said, they are better drivers. They're safer. They have fewer accidents. They drive faster. They take more chances. Well, I haven't figured that one out yet either. Of course, you got to watch the insurance companies. Every one of them is crooked. Did you know that? Now the little game that they're playing is, they go by your credit score to determine. I mean, you could have a perfect record. Non-drinker, just perfect record, never had a ticket. If you're in credit trouble, they raise your rates. It's a way to get more money. Anything they can. Listen, they're out there squeezing for every nickel they can get. Everybody is. That's the way things are right now. But anyway, the chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. A lot of accidents. A lot of slamming into each other. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. That's what they're doing. Really, I go up on an overpass sometime. I was out in Washington a little over a year ago, and I stood up on this overpass, and I watched that big, I don't know how many lanes of highway it was there, and it was just getting dark, and all of these headlights and these cars flying past you, 70, 80 miles an hour, and it just, this scripture just jumped right out at me. They seem like torches. They run like the lightnings. So all of these are signs. And how specific can you get? Red Shield, Rothschild. Interesting, too. You know, the people have told me, I've had people ask me, you know, you never hear of the Rothschilds. How can they be running anything? I said, that's why you don't hear about them. You never hear about the ones running the show. They're behind the curtain. The guy running the whole thing is the guy smoking a cigar sitting on a chair behind the curtain. You're not supposed to know about him. Obama is a puppet. He is too dumb to run anything. Amen. You know, Hitler was an eloquent speaker. He had a magnetism about him. And those same evil spirits are still around somewhere. Where did they go? Where do they like to be? Any place where they can find authority and power. People come and go, they live and they die. The evil spirits keep on living, and they find some new people to get into. And then you have Rahm Emanuel, who's continually ramming stuff down our throat, right? And they're saying, oh, we've got to have this new healthcare system. We've got to have it. We don't have any death councils. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't pull the plug on grandma. Yeah, right. Tears running down his face. You know, and some people fall for it. But he's having a lot of trouble right now. I'm thankful to know that God is on the throne. Amen. And the Lord will show his hand. They are having a lot of trouble, and it's not over yet. And it's because the people of God are praying. One thing that really amazed me here is this last week, over in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America was having a big conference there, and they were making a decision to accept homosexuality among the ministry and all this. And God sent a tornado through there and hit that building, and he took their steeple and bent it right in half. Huh? Now you might say coincidence, but I don't believe it. Rudy Giuliani, a year and a half ago, was standing up with a number of other candidates. I believe it was in New Hampshire. There were, five or six other candidates. And he was talking about the virtues of abortion. And as he was talking, lightning struck his microphone. Nobody else's, just his. And then struck it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. Knocked it completely out. His lips were moving. Nobody could hear him. He was the only one talking about abortion. Is that God showing his hand? Six strikes? Hallelujah. I've seen so much of what the Lord can do and does do. Yes, he does show his hand. He does give us signs. And why does he do it? To wake people up, to tell them to repent, turn from their evil. You can't do wrong and get by. He's so gracious. I mean, he could just end this whole thing right now without showing one more sign. But he is continually manifesting his power. And I'll tell you, when you read verses like this where it even gives names, like Rothschild, you know, these Red Shield, these people that are behind the scenes, that are all in the same club together, that have their secret handshakes and their secret passwords and their secret penal signs and do guard signs, and they meet together in the darkness of the lodge. I remember standing in front of the Skull and Bones tomb, big building over there at Yale University in New Haven, and had this man come along and threaten me that I'm not to tell anybody about it or write about it. And this was one ugly guy looking me right in the face and threatening me. And so I just told him, well, I'm here because the Lord told me to be here. He said, why do you pray? He had the raspy voice, you know. Why do you pray in front of the tomb of the skull and bones? Well, the Lord sent me here. Well, let me show you around Yale. I'll take you. He's going to take me to the Key and Scroll and all these other places. I said, no, right here is where I'm supposed to be. And it was bothering him. And they had a playing card tacked to the back door, big logging chains on the front door. No windows. Windows were all cemented shut. It's a tomb. George Bush was in there. He laid naked in the sarcophagus, the coffin, and was born again into a satanic order. Kerry was in there. All these big wheels are in some kind of a lodge, some kind of a secret society. Come on. And they believe they are the elitists. You know, the Pope in Rome, Ratzinger, doesn't that name kind of grab you? Ratzinger. Well, now he's Benedict, which means to speak a blessing. But the Pope in Rome is not allowed to eat in public. Did you know that? Because they said he is so holy that nobody should be allowed to see him ingesting natural food. And so when they bring him food, the door opens, a servant comes in with a tray of his food covered up, they can't know what he's eating. He walks in, he sets it down, and he walks backward, never turning his back on the Pope, goes out and shuts the door, and the Pope eats alone. He is so holy, nobody can see him put anything in his mouth. I wonder what's under that cloth, maybe a little chaser, you know, for afterward, a little, huh? Now, come on. It's a rolling saloon in those places. We know that. I've been in enough of them. When I was working as a locksmith, I was over at St. Francis Cabrini Church in West Bend. They rekeyed their whole facility, their church, their rectory, everything. And he said, don't forget to do our sacrament room. Oh, sacrament room. Okay, so I went down there. And they had all kinds of communion wine sitting out. Outside the room. I thought, why don't they put it inside? I went inside. There was no room. It was full of whiskey. Serious? I'm telling you the truth. It had racks, the racks with all these bottles, and it was French brandy and all this hard stuff and vermouth and gin and all kinds of... I'm telling you, what do they do with that? Is that sacramental? He said, be sure and change that lock. You got to lock that stuff up. Boy, that's valuable. Don't want anybody getting into there. No, I've seen enough of this sort of thing. I was at Monte Alverno retreat up in Appleton one time, and there were a lot of Franciscans up there and Augustinians and various orders, and they go up there just for a kind of a break, for a getaway, and I was working as a locksmith in Appleton. Boy, it's amazing where you can go as a locksmith. You get in all these places, Masonic temples, everywhere, because they have to have their locks changed. I saw a locksmith truck out at East 58 East 68th Street in New York, which is the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. And right there I thought, boy, I wish I was a locksmith in New York and get in there. They kicked me out of there three times. But anyway, I wasn't going in as a locksmith. But up in Appleton, I walked through this. I had to change locks in this office. I was walking through this kind of a gymnasium-like place, and there were nuns and priests, and they were in their robes and all this, and nuns had their habits on, and they were shuffling cards like Maverick, riffle shuffle, the whole works, and one-hand dealing, and bottles of booze all over the place. They were on break. I saw it with my own eyes. It was a rolling saloon. I couldn't believe it. And they had, you know, the brown robes with the ropes tied, you know, on the cross hanging down there, and they were tipping a few. They were having a was. Some of them were so drunk, they were laughing hysterically, and it sounded just like anything you would find in Las Vegas. I was, honestly, I was just shocked. But I've seen this again and again and again and again. So you might say, well, isn't there anything real in this world? Is religion that corrupt? Yes, religion is corrupt. And the devil is running rampant and wild in religion. Why not? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped. And he has filled the churches with false doctrine, Eastern religion, and complacency and apathy toward truth. Who's going to tell it? Who's going to wake people up? What will cause people to pray and seek God? And I hope that some of what I can tell you this morning will help you to do that. Turn with me for a moment to Amos. Just turn back a few pages. To Amos chapter 6. Here the prophet, also speaking to Israel, said this: Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. See, church should be a place where you can go and have fun, right? Go and just relax and have a great time. Or is it a place where you go to fight spiritual battles? Judgment begins in the house of God. You see? It's a place where you go to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is no social club. This is a place where we get prayers answered, where healings take place, miracles take place. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. What was the mountain of Samaria? The seat of the government. Those that put their trust in the government. That's why you find flags in some churches. What an abomination. Standing where it ought not. It's an abomination that would make that church desolate. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. And it says, Which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. In other words, we are told we are the greatest nation in the world. Greatest nation. And then we go in and take our standards and impose them on another nation, and they become as corrupt as we are. I should say lack of standards, really. But you know what I'm talking about. We've done that many times. Pass ye unto Calna and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath. The great men go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? We are having a lot of border problems, aren't we? Because actually Obama is, through his legislations and so forth, is tearing down all the borders. It's part of unifying Mexico and Canada with the United States into the North American Union. And if you don't think that's happening, you better think again. They already have the currency printed. They're going to devalue the dollar. It's already in trouble, but they're going to devalue it more. You know, the Canadian dollar is back up to 92 cents now. And everything's climbing against the American dollar. Why? Well, when you make more of them, the existing money is worth less, and the existing goods and services have to absorb the excess that was made, just like a sponge. They're going to absorb it. If you create money, it's going to go somewhere. That's why it's worth less and less and less. And I just had one semester of economics in technical college, so I'm no expert. But you don't have to be one. The greatest economist in the world is a woman doing shopping at the grocery store. Come on, you know what's going on. So he says, Ye that put far away the evil day. What does that mean? It won't happen for a long time yet. Nothing bad will happen to us. Oh, an evil day may come, but not in our time. He put far away the evil day. Did anybody ever tell you that? Oh, yeah, the end of the world will come, maybe in 100 years. Way down the road. What is he saying right here? Come on. That she put far away the evil day, way off in the distance, and cause the seat of violence to come near. And I present to you also that when you abort babies on a wholesale basis like this country does, that is violence. There's nothing more violent than going inside a woman's womb, ripping a baby apart and suctioning it out. And then to have our knucklehead Supreme Court say it's all right to do it. And with Sotomayor on there, the one who eats the pig's ears, she is not going to help things at all. You might say, boy, this is a lot of bad news. I'm giving you the good news here, too. Our Lord is coming. I'm telling you what man is doing, what has become of our nation, what has become of our world. But our Lord is coming. He's going to straighten this out. You won't do it, but through prayer, you can give them a lot of resistance until he comes. The Word of God tells me that the people that do know their God shall do exploits. How? Through the power of prayer. Kingdoms can be shaken and brought down. I'm telling you, Obama is in a lot of trouble right now. His ratings are dropping and dropping and dropping, which means he'll probably create a catastrophe to try to boost his ratings, like Bush did. All of a sudden, he had 9/11. Bush went from about 27% up to 86%. See, people just fall for it, don't they? Notice what he says about these people of Israel that were prospering so much. And of course, he applies that to this country as well. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. How do we apply that to right now? That sit back, they flip the old Packer game on, get out their 12-pack and their pretzels and their pizzas and prosperity. Yes, sir, we've got it made. Never think about their soul. That chant to the sound of the viol. Of course, they'll go to church. And they'll have the ceremony, whatever, ritual go on. Whatever church they belong to, then they go home and invent to themselves instruments of music like David and drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They don't see the trouble. They're too busy enjoying themselves. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. What's he saying? They're going to get the worst of it. I think, and I believe, that this country is going to get the worst of it. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Of course, we got to remember that big Baptist preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention said that everybody is elect. Everybody. We're all saved. Everybody in the world is elect. Yeah, that's quite a game, isn't it? Nobody will be in hell. They're all going to a Baptist heaven. Which is hell, okay? Boy, am I too rough today? If you think so, too bad. I don't know how else to be. We got to just lay it out here. Come on. Therefore, now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The God, Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor. God is saying he hates something. What? The excellency of Jacob. The prosperity of Jacob. I abhor the prosperity. Prosperity, we all want it, but it's our biggest enemy if we don't yield to God. Okay? And hate his palaces Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. Do you think that God goes into the capital of the United States, the word capital itself meaning temple of Zeus or temple of Jupiter? Do you think God goes in there and looks at the rotunda and says, oh, is this beautiful? Huh? Look at all the wonderful idols all around here. All the gods and goddesses. All the oak arches and all the carvings of the zodiac. Do you think God goes in there and says, oh, this is my place, all right? Oh, I love this place. That big obelisk up there, that Washington Monument, 555 feet high, casting a shadow across the city as the sun rises. It's the highest spot in the city. Do you think God sees that grotesque Egyptian phallic symbol and says, oh, I'm so proud of that obelisk? Huh? Go over to D.C. It is a pagan temple. The whole thing is, it's a pagan city. Witchcraft from the top side to the bottom side of it. I'm telling you, I've been there a couple of times, and maybe I ought to go back again and get re-inspired, huh? But this is what God thinks about it. Now, I don't have much time left, but I want to go over to the New Testament, into the book of James, chapter 5, and I want to show you something here that the Lord made very clear. It's time for us to wake up, isn't it? And to see what is going on. And in James 5, he says this. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl. Rich man weeping and howling? How come? For your miseries that shall come upon you. Listen, anybody that has to deal with money and with these emptiers, these spoilers of the vine, will find misery. Did you know that? They have literally raped the retirement funds. They have destroyed everything like a swarm of locusts. These great consumers of wealth. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. This is how God sees it. I mean, after all, they give you these dollars that aren't really anything. When you go to the bank and you borrow money, which is very hard to do these days, they don't want to loan money to anybody who needs it. They only want to loan money to people who don't need to borrow. Did you know that? That's true. If you're in desperate straits and you really need to borrow money, don't go to the bank. The banksters will never give it to you. You see, people who borrow money, let's say they take out a mortgage, a death contract, which is what the word mortgage means. Mortuary, mortician, mortgage. It's a death contract. And then, of course, you have to sign your name on a dotted line. There's a dollar sign there, and a dollar sign with the S with a bar through it means under the scourge or bondage of Satan. It comes from the old days of antiquity, under the scourge of Satan. So you sign a death contract under the scourge of Satan for X number of dollars, so much a month, whatever. In England, they got the L with a bar through it, which is under the bondage of Lucifer. Same thing. Check it out. That's where these things came from. And do they give you anything? They might give you a piece of paper, a check. They usually don't even do that. They transfer the money to the buyer, which is just electronic impulses. That gets transferred to his account. There's really nothing of intrinsic value other than an electronic impulse going through an internet, ending up in somebody else's catch basin of electronic impulses, right? There's no real money exchanged. It's a big, phony game. At least when you play Monopoly, you've got paper to hold in your hand. It's a game. It really is. So he says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. Get all you can for the last days. People are telling that, saying that now, aren't they? Oh, they're going to wreck the economy. Buy Swiss francs, buy gold, buy this, buy that. I'm telling you what to do is seek God, get close to God, be as spiritual as you can be, and God will take care of you. But what's the problem with the dollar today? You know, it used to be that you could get a 1 ounce gold coin. When I was a kid, you could get them for $35. I've got one right here. Okay? Doesn't look like much, does it? It's 1 troy ounce. Now I got everybody's attention, right? Okay? It's 1 troy ounce. Now, I could buy one of those for 35 paper dollars when I was a kid. Now, I just checked it yesterday, I have to spend 1,017 of those paper dollars to buy that coin. Okay? $1,017 for the same ounce. This happens to be a Kruger Rand from South Africa. That amazes me. It kind of shows you what does that tell you? What happened to our paper dollars? Why does it take 1,017 to buy the same coin? The Lord said that your gold, and this happens to be a little bar of silver, 1 ounce, your gold and silver is cankered. See, gold doesn't rust because the electron outer shell is too tight. Nothing can get through it to oxidize it. So it never rusts. It has a lot of value to it. So what is he talking about that it's cankered? Well, look at it this way. Let's say that you were doing pretty well and you had $100,000 to invest in gold. Everybody's looking at me like you've got to be kidding. Okay? And let's say you did that. You bought Kruger Rands or Maple Leafs, $1,017 a piece just for fun. I got on a computer, I entered in that I was going to buy 100 of those. And it gave me the bottom line price of 100,900 and some odd dollars. I almost fell off my chair, so I just got out of there. Of course, I. But you know, how many people could do that? And if you did, and you had all of that, what would happen is when everything changes, if they just reset the price of gold? They do it all the time. They do it every day. Gold, the gold price is set arbitrarily in London by the Rothschilds. Every day. They decide what it's worth. So you take all the possessions you got, put it in gold, and then they lower the price down. They did it to the Hunt family. The oil-rich Hunt family put all their money in silver. And then our government lowered the price of silver so much that it bankrupted them. They were in bankruptcy court. This wealthy, wealthy, wealthy family. John Connolly was in on it. They were going to break away from the Union, have their own state, and back their new currency with silver, par specie. But Connolly got shot. Kennedy got killed. Connolly later on became Secretary of the Treasury. He said, I give up. I quit. Can't beat them, join them. Gold and silver is cankered. It isn't really what it is purported to be simply because they have control over that too. And he's saying the time would come when there'd be a lot of weeping and howling because of these corrupted riches. He says the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, watch this one. The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. God hears it. God sees it. You look at the swindles taking place in our country. You think God doesn't see that? And all the people walking the streets looking for work, and there isn't any. trying to figure out what to do, all the heartache, families being broken up, trouble everywhere. God sees it. But notice the complaint here. The hire of the laborers, those that did the work, it says, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Notice, kept back. What does that mean? Withheld. Kept back. When you get a check, is anything withheld? By fraud? Oh, yeah. There's nothing more fraudulent than income tax. The Bible tells us specifically you're never to tax a man's labor. It's not taxable. But did they do it? It's kept back by what? By fraud. It's withheld, kept back. You get your check, they pulled some out. You never see it. Teeth marks all over it. They took bites out of it, didn't they? And of course, there's a Social Security game, which they say is insurance for you. See? Any insurance agent out there would love that one. Buy it or go to jail. You see the problem? The whole world is corrupt and wicked. They're manipulating people through money, through the manipulation of money, and really the whole thing is of fictitious value anyway. God told us that, but he said he does hear the cries of the people that call out to him. I guess today over in Fond du Lac, they're going to vote. Mercury Marine is going to vote. And, of course, a lot of the people there are making $22 an hour right now. And the company says we can pay you $15, but not $22 because people aren't buying motors anymore like they used to. So if you want to keep your job, otherwise we're going to Oklahoma. You have to take less money. And they're saying, we have a contract with you. You agreed to pay us this much for several years yet. They said, if we keep doing that, we'll go out of business. You won't have a job at all. So now they have to decide what they're going to do, and the union has been leaning toward rejecting it, which means they'd shut it down, and all the jobs would go out of Fond du Lac. And the response of Governor Doyle is, I'm not going to run again. That's right. Run, and then run it into the ground, then decide you're not going to run again. Well, that's good news that he's not going to run again, but it's just the whole thought of the thing. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, never enough. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter, taking full advantage of people to the point where it kills them. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. They still come back to work. They still keep taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it, all the abuse, because they don't know what else to do. So what does the Lord say? Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. That's the answer. Pray, be patient, establish your hearts, get in the gospel, believe God, draw close to God. God will draw close to you. He'll take care of you. He'll give you the wisdom to do the right things. He'll provide a way when there is no way. He'll work miracles for you. Your very salvation is a miracle. We need God's help through all this. You can't wind your way through this weed patch and expect to come out all right. We need God to be with us. It's wise to seek the Lord right now, whether you have much or little. Seek the Lord and let him take over and guide you. So he says this, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. When that happens, none of these other things will mean anything anyway. Only one thing will matter, and that is that God dwells within your heart. We can get so wrapped up in what do I do? What do I do? How do I protect my assets? How do I get more? How do I shield myself from this or that? The Lord is your shield. The Lord is your defender. He'll show you what to do. He'll give you wisdom. God is greater than that bunch of goofballs out there that are causing all this trouble. Come on. Your number one thing to do is seek God, and don't worry about the rest of it. Because God will help those who have nothing. He'll help those who have been blessed with many things. But we all need to do the same thing. Abraham was a very wealthy man, but he was so close to God that he was able to have it and it didn't destroy him. All of us need to seek him today. He's the one who hung on the cross of Calvary for us. He is the one who hung in darkness. For all those who are walking in darkness, he hung in darkness for you. And he carried our sins upon his own shoulders. Our sins were never in him, they were upon him. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's why in the darkness, the silence was ominous. The whole world was dark. At midday, dark as the blackest night. And suddenly that voice cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did the spirit forsake the flesh? Because he had all of your sins and mine upon his shoulders. Come on. He bore our sins and our iniquities. They were upon his shoulders, and he hung there in the darkness that we might have light, and that we might never be alone. You know, some people say that one part of God died, that God the Son died. No, it's the Son of God that died, the flesh of God died. I don't believe in dead deity. If the one they say is God the Son, if he died, if he was dead for 5 minutes, he's not eternal. To be eternal, you can't die. Not for a moment. The humanity, the Lamb of God, the flesh of God, died. The Spirit forsook the flesh for a short time because he accepted your sin and mine upon his shoulders. But in the end, victory came. The price was paid. And he lifted us up. And here we are, facing the hardest time the world has ever gone through. And you can't do it without God. You've got to pray. You've got to seek him. It's the only hope that we have. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're thankful today that we have the hope that we have. For thou didst truly die for us on the cross. And thou art risen again. Thou art alive forevermore. Lord, move upon thy people, O God. Help us to reach out to thee, for thou didst reach out unto us in the darkness to find us where we were in that darkness. And now, O Lord, thou hast brought the light of life to us. Lead and guide and direct us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let thy word be glorified and magnified, and let thy name be exalted. Let thy people be blessed, O Lord, with the fullness of salvation. And let there be a great hunger and thirst for thy righteousness. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus.